So the Army wants to get to about 25% of all its energy from renewable sources. We're talking solar, wind, geothermal. I mean, remember, the Army is one of the largest users of energy in the country, and there's two reasons behind this goal. Now, Catherine Hamrick is the Army's Assistant Secretary for Installations, Energy, and the Environment. She said one reason is to reduce their dependence on foreign oil imports. The other is more about mission needs.
We're also doing it from a standpoint of resilience. We need to increase the resilience of our installations. Many of our installations are at the end of a line. They're in fairly remote locations. And so that means that if anything happens upstream, our fallback is diesel generators. And so we'd like to increase our resiliency by having generation on the installations. The Energy Initiatives Task Force was also stood up because we recognize that our garrison's responsibility is to really run the garrison. And that is what we want them to focus on, is operating it and supporting soldiers and their families.
Now, she spoke with reporters yesterday during a briefing to discuss the next steps of the Army's new Energy Task Force, which was launched in September. Now, you're thinking 2025, that seems like a long time. But for the military to really shift how they get a lot of their energy, and 25% is an awful lot, you're talking about hundreds of megawatts of energy. She says it's really a short time frame. And that's why the task force is going to take a long and broad look across the department to find opportunities for these programs. It's figuring out the best way to, in many ways, to trade or sell land for energy production so vendors can set up the wind or the solar energy collectors.
So, Jason, is this going to be a one-off? How can they make the process repeatable and predictable?
And that's exactly what the task force is trying to do, develop that cookie-cutter approach for these programs. Hammock says the part of the way that they're getting this repeatable process is by including a host of people on the force, including the finance community, lawyers, acquisition experts, installation management community, and other parts of the Army. So they're bringing all the people who can make decisions about their piece of the puzzle and make those decisions more quickly and set up what she calls, you know, basically that the cookie-cutter approach. Hammock says it doesn't mean a one-size-fits-all, but the goal is to shorten the process because around the time it takes to go through the procurement, the environmental assessment, the testing, and the building of these renewable energy sites.
Our intent is to have our processes templated so that we are going through the same analysis each time and people understand what that analysis is, and that gives the OSD, the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the confidence that we are going through a due diligence process, that they have vetted and confirmed that it is appropriate in its analysis.
And it's that confidence that they're going to get from the Office of the Secretary of Defense is very important, because currently Hammock, the approval process for something what they call power purchase agreements, which are 30-year deals that the military makes with utility companies, that has to get approved by the secretary traditionally. The Secretary Leon Panetta has actually delegated authority to Dorothy Robine, the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Installations and Environment. But Hammock says Robine would delegate the authority to her if the service can show that its process is consistently doing a good job, meeting the goals of the Army and getting good deals. Richard Kidd is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Energy and Sustainability. He says that predictability is something vendors want as well. Kidd, who actually came to the Army just last year from the Energy Department, says the standard process could cut the time of approval to 3 to 6 months instead of years.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, what should vendors, what should contractors be looking for over the next couple of years?
In many ways, this is what the Army did yesterday. It was all about the vendors. They want to give them as much information as possible. As of yesterday, there's not too many details about what the process will look like, but it's coming. The Army held that industry day yesterday. They'll hold another one in spring. And in fact, there was a ton of interest. 250 companies, more than 350 people showed up. The Army was at capacity, an overflow capacity, within hours of putting up the notices to industry of this industry day online. John Leshteski is the executive director of the Energy Initiatives Task Force for the Army. He says vendors should expect the first of many initiatives from the task force soon.
What we announced today was only one essentially tool in what we envision is a multi-tool toolbox. This MATOC contract, which we're anticipating, which stands for Multi-Award Task Order Contract, and the words are very reflective of how that works. But we would see an RFP out on the street for companies to respond to in the first quarter of 2012, and then make awards to multiple companies under that in 2013. The way that works is similar to the ESPC contract that's been referred to. A number of different companies would affect be awarded, and then they would compete for task orders, which would be very project-specific.
Now, the task force is still developing that broad acquisition strategy, and that could be out in the next year as well. So this MATOC contract, or this multiple award task order contract, is one piece of the puzzle, but they're also looking at the big, broad puzzle, and that's where that big acquisition strategy come in. Now, Kidd says the Army will roll out the details of this acquisition strategy as soon as possible. It's obviously, these things take time, and still always a work in progress. But just because they don't have this acquisition strategy yet or this other contract out yet, there's still plenty of work being done. The Army has more than 20 projects in the pipeline, including solar arrays at Fort Irwin in California and wind turbines at Fort Tallulah in Utah, and obviously more are coming. And in fact, the Army has about 8 different authorities already to improve the energy efficiency or get new energy sources that they can use. Lushevsky says the Army also will do what they call one-off procurement using these different approaches, which, again, could include energy savings performance contracts, of which, by the way, the Army already has 100 in place to improve the energy efficiency of existing buildings. They also can use what they call enhanced use leasings and cooperative agreements.
We are very, very focused about deployment. Certainly there's a lot of very good R&D still to be done, but a lot of these technologies that have been developed through DOE support over the last 10, 20 years are very much in the marketplace right now and are quickly coming down the cost curve to where we have line of sight, to where we can see a very, very favorable economics with conventional electricity. When you add that market dynamic with the need for the Army to have energy security, you create a tremendous opportunity both for DOD as well as the private sector.
So in many ways, the Army is just getting started on this coordinated approach. But remember, there's several projects in the pipeline that will serve as test beds for these future programs and help create that predictability both vendors and the Army so desire.
Now, Jason, it sounds like they've got probably a dozen different contracting techniques to get this power onto the bases. But is it fair to say that they expect contractors to do the work of building an installation?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the goal here. That's why they have all these millions of acres of unused land. And what the Army kind of realized was, hey, we don't have the capital, the money to build, 100 wind turbines or, put up 500 solar arrays. What if we traded or sold some of that land or, leased it, long-term lease, to the vendors who then built the wind turbines, built the solar arrays, built the geothermal, and then the Army will buy that energy back from them. So in many ways, it's not a share and savings contract, but it is a very strong partnership where it's kind of the vendor gets a guaranteed revenue from the Army or from the military.
And I would ask this even further. If the Army, say, in one case or another, might want to own the facilities, by getting a very predictable process out of the contractors, sounds like they want to be able to get fixed-price contracts because of the predictability down the line. I'm just guessing. Does that sound that way to you?
That's actually, I think, a pretty good guess. In fact, we've heard from the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and DOD for a long time is firm fixed prices is the way to go. Obviously, they're still developing that acquisition strategy. It's hard to say what they'll end up doing. Task order contracts, as we know, tend to be time and materials and labor hours. I'm not sure how that fits into building renewable energy sites. So I think that's something that we're going to see over the next year or so as they've finished that broad acquisition strategy.